The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. How was your Monday? Pretty damn good. There they are, right there, Lance. When the show starts, Lance goes, "Oh, somebody stole my headphones." This is every morning. Somebody stole my headphones, but they're right there. Creighton took them. He said, "Creighton." Oh my goodness, we had some drama last night here at the station. Jason Braddock walked out of the show. I don't know. Man, those two were ugly with each other now. I don't know. Lance and I, one time, Lance was so... We had an argument. I forgot what it was about. I remember...
6'10"?
Remember?
I remember getting super pissed off.
You were so mad. I don't remember what the argument was about. I remember I was right. But Lance got up, and we didn't have any computers. There were no laptops then.
I have one.
No, but I don't think you did. Not at that time. You had all these papers, and you picked them up off the desk, and you went over to the garbage can, and you threw them in the garbage can as hard as you could, and you stormed out of the studio.
I stormed out, and I went in, and I remember it. I stormed out. I went into the break room. There was some barbecue there. I got a plate of barbecue, and I ended up coming back in.
Yeah.
With a plate of barbecue.
With a plate. Any good?
Got it back together.
And I just continued to do the show very calmly. He came in. He apologized, which he should have.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that.
The only other time I got mad like that one other time. You already know what I'm going to say with Michael P. Davis.
With the bagel.
Our producer, Michael P. Davis, was just doing really, like, I kept note every day he would go down and make a breakfast run for us. And we would buy breakfast for, like, us or Rusty or whoever. And I would get a bagel with some cream cheese and a Diet Coke or Coke at that time. I was probably having about 800 calories, about 95 carbs or whatever. And I started noticing my bagel was coming back with, like, it was coming back with, like, 3/4 inch cream cheese. I was having to take the bagel every day and take a knife and scrape off. Like, there's nobody who works at any place that for a living where they get paid to put that much cream cheese on. I know he was telling her, "Hey, more, just to be an a-hole. I just know he was. And I don't even know why. Because that was a super passive-aggressive move. Because I would get, I'm like, "God bless, there's 3/4 inch of cream cheese on this. I can't eat this." And like, I had to scrape. I just got to wait till it breaks so I can get, like, a giant knife and scrape it. And I would have to, like, right in the trash can, like you do with the dollop of mayonnaise. It was like that.
Yeah. And it was like a giant bagel cream cheese sandwich.
Cream cheese.
Yes.
And I got so mad at, like, the 100th time in a row this happened. I took it, and I don't even know what I said, and I threw it as hard as I could against the glass.
There's a giant glass.
And it's just like that you could look in. Cream
cheese.
And it's
cream cheese, and it's stuck, and it slid down.
Yeah. And Michael's like, "Oh, I don't know what you're so mad about." He said, "So much cream cheese on every day." Sleep deprived.
And there was giant cream cheese stain on the window. That was so funny.
Oh my God.
He was so mad.
I was like, "Every day you ruin my breakfast. I pay for your breakfast. Every day you ruin it by putting 10 pounds of cream cheese on this bagel.
That was
Can
the
you
funniest.
Please stop doing this on, because I know it's on purpose."
That was the funniest.
Could you add more, please? Extra. Am I paying extra for this, too?
So, Jason Braddock got up, and he was dropping the B word on him all the way out the door. "You're a B. You're a B. I'm a B.
It was, I mean... It was just about trading Harden, and then I guess Creighton wanted to know, well, which teams you want to trade to. Well, that's a legitimate discussion you can have, but the original concept is it's time to trade Harden, right?
Well, right. The Well, Creighton went a little bit too far. For those of you who want to hear it, it's on Podcast Arena, and it's the end of the first hour and the beginning of the second. And maybe we'll play a little. I don't know. But I'm with him. See, Creighton went too far. Teacher told you to do your homework at home. Don't do it during the show. But he kept on saying, well, what teams? I don't know what teams. I mean, dude, the Clippers got Paul George last year. Did you know the Clippers were going to get Paul? Do you know any trades? Did you know that the Rockets were going to get Russ when they got Russ? No. I mean, it just popped up. It just happened out of nowhere. The concept of trading James Harden is real. It's real. I don't know what teams. I have no idea. I don't care what teams. I'm not a general manager. I'm not in talks with Daryl Morey. Someone might be, or if Daryl Morey is even, if James Harden is even out there. Here's the problem with James Harden being out there is it immediately goes to the media. James Harden on the trade block. Someone will drop it. The agent or the other GM just to make. You know, it's like Russia messing with our elections and our riots and everything else. They just want chaos. And chaos for the Rockets would be, James Harden isn't wanted in Houston anymore. Right. That would be wonderful for the rest of the NBA. So, that's a difficult thing. And who knows what team he would go to? Patrick, if you disagree with him, with Jason Braddock about whether or not James Harden could be traded, okay. Or whether or not he you should trade him, okay. But, you know, the fact that I don't know, he doesn't know which teams, I'm not, you know. I guess he said, though, that Jason Braddock calls other people out. If you're going to propose a trade, then you got to know. Then give me a real trade. Give me a trade he could go to.
No. You insulted him a little bit.
I didn't insult anybody.
A little out of order yourself.
Who did I insult?
I'm talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so probably because Creighton's done that show by himself for a long time, or he did a show by himself.
Well, he might be doing it again.
Yeah.
The way they ended last night.
But but he's done a show by himself, and so if you do a show by yourself, you've already got to have it fleshed out. So he probably looks at it different, where in his mind, he's probably talking to himself for a long time. So he goes, okay, the way he's always learned to prepare is, I'm going to prepare for the trade, and here's who to. Right. They probably, because I'm just thinking, well, yesterday was the day to say it's time to trade James, or it's time to look at trading James. Or is trading James the only way you have a chance to legitimately alter your
fortunes? Well, to what team, Lance?
See, I haven't done the homework yet.
Well,
I haven't, because I haven't.
Don't bring that garbage in here.
I threw out Philadelphia, I haven't checked. Like, I didn't go to check.
Yeah.
Sunday was my day to watch football.
Listen, that's right. And why couldn't it be a Minnesota? Why couldn't it be none of the California teams? I was thinking about it. Not Portland wouldn't do it. I mean, there are a lot of teams that wouldn't do it. I don't think San Antonio. I don't think the Rockets would do it with San Antonio. I don't know. Is there maybe?
Dell, are you interested in John Wall at all?
Yeah, I'm Washington.
Interested in a John Wall to pair with an Eric Gordon and a Russell Westbrook.
That's tasty.
What John Wall was up to over the weekend?
Stay small ball.
Did you see what he was up to over the weekend?
No,
he was. John Wall's, how do I put this? He's affiliated. Known to be affiliated. In a video on Twitter, it popped up on Twitter, he pulled out the red rag. He was just throwing up some signs with his buddy. I'm not sure the NBA's going to feel great about that.
He's almost 30 years old.
You're never out, Lance.
Yeah, but when you're
why are you affiliated with all the money that you have?
But Paul Pierce, affiliated before, yeah, just out, from you're from a neighborhood. I mean,
yeah, but
there's certain pro athletes who are really good guys here who also are affiliated because that was their neighborhood, and they will rep. They very quietly rep their set. I didn't know it until I had a couple listeners tell me, like, I don't even know it, but this guy reps his set fairly frequently with a lot of the moves he makes. And I was like, really? It's like, yeah, you just don't know. You just don't know what they are. And he pointed them out and showed me. And I was like, oh, wow, that's right. So it happens. You don't want them like actively gangbanging. But I just feel like at some point you get it to some age and some wealth. But Paul Pierce was throwing up sets back when he was like 34, 33. Remember that? You remember that in the playoff game, I think, where he threw up his set man, I wish I can't remember the game. I think I want to say J.R. Smith has done it too. So I don't know. I didn't see that with John Wall though.
He had to apologize.
John Wall did?
Yeah, there's articles about him apologizing.
Well, I mean, he is a role model. Gang affiliation is not a...
No, that's not a...
That's not a good thing. I don't know if 2020 has flipped that, too, but I don't think we should be celebrating that. But, yeah, I mean, that's good. That's good he didn't. I watched Pittsburgh Steelers last night versus the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think Daniel Jones is going to be a pretty good quarterback. I mean, he can really hum it in there. And I thought he just was under duress all game long. Cam Fleming was terrible, the right tackle for the Giants. But the Steelers did not look very fun to play against. It did not look fun to go against their defense at all. I mean, Saquon Barkley, I'll check the final stats, but Saquon was negative pretty much the whole game.
Oh, my God.
Every carry was a negative carry.
Yes.
Every
he had his worst game ever.
It was unbelievable how badly the Giants got the breaks.
So after watching Pittsburgh, what do you think about week three now? What do you think about TJ and coming off the edge?
Oh, no, that's a loss.
Yeah. Did you have it as a loss?
I think I did. I don't know. Who was week four?
It is the Vikings.
I had that as my win.
Yeah.
So I had Steelers already as a loss.
So
I had
0-3. Another 0-3 start?
I had a 1-3 start. I think I had a 2-4 out of the first.
Would you... I watched,
now, the Colts might be different.
Well, I watched about the first half of the Titans.
Yeah, I had to put a CPAP machine, or APAP, they call it, for the first time. So I was trying to like get used to that and watch some of the Titans. I watched the first two series of both teams. Titans are who they're going to be.
Yeah.
They don't deviate.
No.
That's a very simple formula. We're just going to run the, we're going to run the football. And we're going to bang. We're not going to have Tannehill try to make too many plays. And what'd you think in terms of the first half? What'd you saw?
Yeah, I saw a defense that gets after it. I saw, Denver's not a bad football team.
Nah,
They played them. You know, that's even without Von Miller, I thought that was going to be some problem. I think Tannehill is limited, obviously. But Corey Davis was there. They're gonna punch you in the mouth all season long. That dude, I told you right that J.J. said in practice, Derrick Henry is basically Jadeveon Clowney with the football, just huge, strong, just so hard to tackle. Just you're gonna get punished every time you tackle him. So if he can withstand another season of he'll have well over 1,000 yards again and just punish people. And they wear you down. They wore Denver down. Denver made some mistakes at the end, though. I haven't seen yet the end of the football game, but apparently Vic Fangio was a mess. Just a mess. Vic Fangio is a head coach.
That's shocking.
Yes, it really is.
I never thought that was going to end up working out well.
No. I mean, he always just seems to me, and I've we worked with Vic here closely for years. He just always seemed, I don't know, not unorganized or just disheveled. It just didn't seem, I don't know. He just doesn't look like a head coach to me.
By the way, did you see Gostkowski had missed four field goals?
Three field goals and an extra point.
Yeah, until he made four kicks, until he made the one to win the game from 25 yards out.
Yes.
Like, yay!
Did you hear Steve Levy's call?
No, what
did he say? Well, he did it like he's been doing it all night. And he was like, no, he was really, really, really awful. All right, it's 713 ESPN 97.5. Maybe we'll play some of that odd. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Of the Patrick Creighton show. It gets uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. 713, that's a little jab. I didn't mean anything by it.
Side jab. Listen, all you have to do to get your website where it needs to be is call the local company, SiteJab, sitejab.com. They've been building websites from scratch for two decades. It takes 3 to 6 weeks, so it's a very short turnaround. But whether you have one in place, and for many of you, you have one in place, but I'm still talking to you because you probably have a website that's outdated. If it's 2 years or older, it's going to be outdated. For many of you, it's probably going to be 3, 4, 5 years, which is super outdated. There have been so many changes made, so many alterations. They work with design, the flow of the website. the dissemination of information, which is very important since 80% of the people are going to who come to your website or your potential customers will go to your website. So you want it to represent you and your work, but you want to convert that into business leads. Well, SiteJab can help you do that. They can even add e-commerce right there to your site. Make sure that you go to SiteJab.com, look at some of the work that they've done in the past from scratch or even kind of to remodel websites. SiteJab.com, that's SiteJab.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Whatever, I'm the one doing the show. You're the one checking out. Have a good day. See ya. Oh, bitch. Oh, okay. Now it's bitch. Oh, yeah. I see that. I remember calling you names because that's what grown-up, adult, non-petty people do. We call each other names now. That's how this works.
Oh, yikes.
Hey, Tyler, let's, we'll come back. We'll get into the actual show. We'll have fun with it then.
Yikes. That's uncomfortable. He had a call for it to play it. That's uncomfortable. That was last night right here on ESPN 97.5. Let's see tonight. You know what? Oh, they don't work tonight, right? Tomorrow they work.
Soccer matters tonight.
Yeah. Soccer matters tonight. So we'll see as ESPN 97.5 turns how that winds up on. Hopefully they make up and they have a love fest on Wednesday, tomorrow night, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right here. That's what I'm listening to. And the way
let one of you call me a bitch a couple times. Ain't going to be no love fest the next day.
Dell's dying to leave work.
No, but if you were like, if someone called me a, if one of you called me like a bitch multiple times, I'd like, ain't no love fest.
On the air. How about, we were talking about it yesterday. It's off mic, so it's like a ghost is called. Like,
yeah, it's like a hollow. Haunted by the word bitch, by a ghost.
Almost worse.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
Got that hollow, you know.
Why can't we call you a bitch?
I'm just telling you, ain't gonna be no love fest.
If someone's bitch or bitch, what are you gonna do? What? Why not?
A love fest?
What?
Just think about it. In the heat of a moment, someone goes, while they're walking away, man, you a little bitch. How's that supposed to feel?
It's not supposed to feel good. It wasn't meant to, at the time, I don't think he meant it to be.
I know.
Hey, I want you to feel good about this.
No. That's the point. There ain't gonna be no love fest the next day.
Oh, I think they'll make up. We'll see. They'll make up, and then they'll get back into their well.
Because AJ had a tweet last night said, "I came to work at 7:30. I leave at 7 o'clock. Why am I still dealing with work stuff?"
Yep.
And like 8:40, and there's no question that's what it was about.
There's no question that's what it was about. Pac-12 football return mid to late November. Mid to late November, Pac-12 football. How's that gonna work out?
Well, for some schools, it would be fine.
Southern California, Arizona.
Yeah,
but it ain't gonna be great for Seattle. Washington, Oregon.
State. Yeah, it's not gonna be great.
I think Oregon. If I remember, Leach talking about Oregon, it's mild.
Oregon's weather's not terrible.
Yeah, it's
warm. Mean, it'll be. Chillier, it'll be a little rainy.
I think Washington will be difficult.
Washington will be a little different. Washington State, that'll be a little more challenging. It's further northwest. So we'll see. We'll see. I have so many opt-outs coming out now that I'm writing up. It's I'm not going to say football is a shell of itself. Because one thing, you know, I didn't think one single time on Sunday about NFL opt-outs. Remember, they were NFL opt-outs.
Yeah.
I didn't think one time, one
no,
single
it's football.
Time.
That's it. That's who you got. That's all.
I didn't, not one
so
time.
So did the Patriots look any worse for all eight guys being gone?
Didn't Lyle Collins opt out? Isn't that why Cam Fleming, is it right?
Okay.
No, I'm not Lyle Collins. But,
no, he's in Dallas.
Nate Solder. That's why Cam Fleming was at right tackle. And he was terrible. They're going to have to put the rookie Matt Parrott in there because Cam Fleming was an atrocity over on the right side. But Nate Solder, the veteran, opted out. And that's going to have an impact on That's already having an impact on the Giants' pass protection. But I didn't think one single second about NFL opt-outs on Sunday. Did you?
No, not once. I mean,
except when I thought Miami plus the points because of New England's opt-outs.
Well, that's why everybody was talking about Miami. Yeah, Miami. That's why I took New England
opt-outs, and
that's why I took New England.
Yeah.
Name the major guys that are having a huge effect on the NFL because they opted out.
I don't even remember the opt-out.
Yes.
I got to go back and see them. We don't talk about it.
No. The only thing we ever talked about was 8 Patriots, right? That's, and there were some good players. Hightower opted out. Honestly, if a starting quarterback opts out, now you got a story. But otherwise, man, look how deep the running backs are. Malcolm Brown looked great. Who else? How about Peyton Barber? I mean, there are guys
Peyton Barber was going in. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are guys that are looking really, really good. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going deep. Malcolm Brown looked really good. Hell, we saw Jerick McKinnon for the first time in 8 years.
Yeah, he was hurt all last year. There's a lot of injuries too, so other guys are going to get some. They're going to get some looks. Looks like Steelers lost their right tackle Zach Banner. It looked bad yesterday. Oh. Wouldn't shock me if that ended up being for the year.
Yeah. Oh, and
Blake Jarwin, Cowboys.
By the way,
out for the year.
By the way, Snell might have won the job last night.
Yeah, with James Conner hurt.
Yeah.
James Conner got hurt. Benny Snell came in. Same kind of back.
Yeah.
I mean, same kind of back.
But a little bit more explosive.
Yeah. I think, I think James Conner's a better back than Snell, but that was my opinion coming out. We will see. Benny's going to get his shot now. We've seen Conner. Conner has had some injury issues the last couple of years now. So, we'll see what it holds in store for him. But Steelers have always been able to find backs.
Yeah.
They like big backs.
Yeah. I
mean, they like the bigger backs.
Yeah, Benny had a great career in Kentucky, and now he looks really good, really good. Looks like he lost a little weight.
He looked quicker. I can tell you this, he looks quicker than he did at Kentucky.
Yes.
He looks smaller.
He does look smaller.
He looked quicker. He did not look that quick at Kentucky.
No, I thought he was heavy at Kentucky.
I did too.
Now he didn't look like the same guy.
He just leaned down. And some running backs do that. I'll admit, he looked smaller and quicker to me.
You know who else did? Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was thicker at LSU.
They say he's 207 right now. You know, this is something I find every year. You watch him against college guys, like Benny Snell looked like a monster in college. Then you watch him in the pros against bigger linemen with bigger – here's Ben Roethlisberger, here's Juju, here's all these offensive linemen. Every running back looks smaller in the pros.
Yep.
Every single one of them. On tape in college, they look big. And in the pros, like, oh, man, he looks a lot smaller.
By the way,
Juju
looks like he put on some muscle. And he looks stronger than he did. And Deontay Johnson looks good.
Man, it's going to be – if Ben can stay healthy – I didn't think Ben was great, but he throws a little cross. Like, Ben's better than Duck Hodges.
Yeah,
Ben can stay healthy, it's gonna be a crazy year.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, maybe not a crazy year, but it's going to be really competitive.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think the Raiders could make a little bit of noise this year, too. I think they're not going to be a fun team to play. They got a little more firepower. I think the Raiders aren't going to be a fun team to play. I'm not really. We'll see what happens. It's almost like a loser leave town match between the Browns and Bengals on Thursday. But I at least want to watch Joe Burrow keep playing and performing. AJ was kind of banging on Burrow a little bit yesterday when I joined their show. I don't know if he was banging on him. He was saying LSU fans were being crybabies about him saying that he didn't think Joe Burrow looked that great. I thought Joe Burrow for his first game looked fine. I mean, his tight window throws, but he made them. Because he has good ball placement. I thought, you got to remember now.
It's one game in the NFL.
Joe Burrow went from having huge advantages at wide receiver and running back, and then with Joe Brady, his scheme, they had defenses on their toes. In the pros, it flips.
Yeah.
Where the defensive coordinators, everything you're seeing is brand new. Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler loved hearing them call the Monday night game. Loved hearing them call the Monday night game yesterday. That was awesome. Because they did a great job. Way better than the second team.
Steve, oh, that's the first team.
Yeah, but I'm saying better than usually they hire the second team, and it's not good. Herbie and Fowler were awesome in the first game. So anyway, one of the things that Fowler brings up, he goes, you know, we call so much college football every Saturday, and then we watch it on Sunday. But boy, up close and personal, he goes, can you believe the speed and the complexity of the defensive blitz packages and how fast? And Herbie said, it's really, truly amazing. And Fowler goes, it's like, I can't believe anyone scores any points in this league watching this now. And that's what I'm saying. That's what Joe Burrow's up against now. It's every rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
It takes a huge step up, and you got defensive coordinators who are playing chess matches against you where you don't even know. Like, they're showing you things you've never seen.
I mean, I was just thrilled that he was able to drive them down the field in the and he made every throw in that final drive. And, you know, against a defense that is, I mean, that Chargers defense is formidable with those guys. Of course, Bosa was standing on the sideline for whatever reason. But no, what the hell? What did you expect out of a kid? They were the worst team in the league last year. And you get the first pick and you throw that quarterback out there the very first game without an offseason that he gets to work with everybody. What were you expecting out of Joe Burrow? Were you expecting LSU Joe Burrow where they dominated offensive, where they just crushed everybody? I wasn't. I was thrilled with what Joe did. 728 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Got both of those stations, so if you're out west, and my coach is out there and he's listening, and he said, play the clip. LOL. And we did. We did, Coach. We played the clip. He's way out there in Katy, and he can hear it. He loves the new 92.5. And if you are somebody that wasn't able to get it anywhere in the city, let's go. You can get it on 92.5 now. So, 713-780-3776 is the number. I don't know if you can find it, but Bruce Arians, man, I'm going to tell you this. You want to talk about a rocky start? Tom Brady has not been coddled his entire career, but you wouldn't hear Belichick saying the kind of things that Bruce Arians was saying yesterday.
Oh, Bruce Arians, yeah. Man, we saw what'd he say? He said, here's his exact quotes. He was asked about him. He goes, he looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in a ball game because they didn't do things we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. I mean, that's throwing him right under a bus.
Yeah.
That is highly unusual that, you know, I just wonder, I don't know. I know Bruce a little bit. I mean, Bruce was very defensive and protective of when he was an offense coordinator, but of Ben Roethlisberger back in the day would protect Ben by all means necessary. I don't remember Carson Palmer taking a bunch of crap. I don't know if this is him making a point to his team. And maybe he told Tom Brady that, hey, I'm gonna coach you hard, you know, if you don't do. But Tom strikes me as a guy who wouldn't take it.
Well, you saw the story where guys were, and by the way, that first interception, after further review, Bruce Arians says that was on Mike Evans.
Oh, he did?
He turned it around and said, upon further review, that was on him because it was cover two and he should have bent inside. That's what he said. But I don't care if he'd have bent it inside. There was absolutely no chance of him catching that ball.
That's not the throw.
No, that throw was would have been 10 feet over his head. I don't know how. Maybe he's trying to save Brady in some way, shape, or form there. But listen, the thought was in New England, there was a few players behind the scenes. I forget who wrote the story, but he said that, you know, Brady was dour all season long. He was hard to be around, that he had just a terrible attitude all year long, maybe because he was playing like crap. Well, I could certainly see where he wouldn't be all that happy this week in Tampa, where he won't be great to be around in there either, and especially if the head coach is coming after him, and which he did yesterday. So it's the players' day off today. We'll see what it brings tomorrow. Which is worse, Braddock calling him a bitch, creating a bitch, or Bruce Arians going after Tom Brady the way he did? Which one's worse?
Well, one is coaching.
Which one will? Well,
one is coaching.
It seemed personal to me.
I don't think it was Which one?
Arians and Brady.
That didn't seem personal
to me. It didn't seem that personal. That Braddock
seemed like
he
was calling him out, just saying, man. It seemed like honesty, the first one.
Yeah.
The second one seemed like there was a disagreement that turned personal.
It definitely seemed like that to me. It definitely seemed like it was that was personal. Braddock and Creighton, I don't know. That's just two guys.
No, Tom Brady's wasn't personal.
Yeah. That's just two guys. Like, if I called Dell a bitch right now, then what would he do? He'd say, okay, whatever. That's just fun.
I don't think
that's what two guys say.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Did the two guys yesterday just say, okay, whatever?
Well, no, I don't think so.
So what do you mean, that's just two guys? Because we have a prime example of it not just being, oh, okay, he called me a bitch. No, that didn't happen yesterday.
I bet they're both on the show today.
There won't be a show today.
It's Glenn
Davis
there's
no
time.
Show today. Tomorrow.
It's Wednesday.
Probably. But that doesn't mean it's going to feel great.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Well, they've got a day to talk it out beforehand.
More uncomfortable, that one or Nick and Josh?
Ooh, man.
Well, Nick called Josh a loser at life.
I think it was that one.
Whoa.
But Josh came back at him, too. No,
at the end, it was all Nick, I feel like. Nick was like, you called him an intern because, you know, the situation.
But they were having an art. Well,
somebody called
one.
For a tag team match.
That was
Braddock and Nick versus Creighton and Josh.
I would, man.
I don't know which one I got there.
Well, I know. I mean, if we're talking, I think athleticism goes to Nick and Braddock.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. Well, yeah. If we're doing athleticism.
Yeah.
Well, we were listening. We were listening to it, and my wife goes, "So what are they arguing? What's the black guy arguing about?" And I go,
"There is no black guy.
There's no black guy."
John does too much on the air.
I said, "He's not a black guy. That's Jason Braddock. Now tell me that's the first time that was ever mistaken.
No, it's just he's from South Carolina.
Yeah."
My man's just Bubba Sparks.
Well, there are other people from South Carolina that don't sound like him.
They sound like this.
I don't think it's strictly
South
Carolina.
Y'all need to go. We got to get the Gamecocks going, y'all. I'm tired of losing to Clemson every daggum year.
Yeah, that's not Braddock. So it's not Braddock. That's not a South Carolina.
You got
one.
You got two choices.
I don't know.
Like Deshaun Watson doesn't say the X.
Well, he's from Georgia.
Oh, that's right. Maybe that's a Georgia thing. Texans. It's Texans. He doesn't say Texans. He says Texans. That's a Georgia thing. You don't have to say your ex.
What did Bill O'Brien say yesterday that you took out of
nothing? Nothing questions.
What about the question? What's the key for players to bounce back after a loss?
Yeah. Oh. What do you have to do? One person did ask.
What's happened to the run defense over the last 10 games?
That was a legit game.
That's a legit question.
That was a legit question.
What the hell's happened to this run defense, because it sucks.
We all got
to
do better.
They were 25th last year against the run, and they lose DJ Reader. Guess what the Ravens are going to do?
Oh.
The best run team in the league.
And everything, you're going to get sucked up by play action and the zone read, which is why Mark Andrews can run free into the slot. Mark Andrews, I remember people used to call him a puss at Oklahoma, like scouts did. A lot of them didn't like him. I just saw a guy who made a lot of catches. I mean, so yeah, I had to kind of like, God, he was kind of tough to figure out from a scouting standpoint. But then you just start realizing, just guys who make catches, it's okay in the NFL if you're not a great blocker. Who cares? The game is, first of all, Antonio Gates was not a great blocker.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham was not. And in football now, it used to be like, well, you wish they blocked. Now football says, we don't care.
No.
You can just be big. We'll teach you to get in somebody's way.
Now, to catch. Be Gronk, that's exceptional.
A Y. But that's a Y tight end.
Yeah.
You don't have, now that there's more two tight end sets, and it's not Kubiak style where it's two on the line
of
scrimmage.
Yeah, but it sure is nice for a coach if the guy is a good blocker.
Yeah, you want him to be... You want him to be better, but they can line him up in a slot and just getting away on a linebacker, getting away on a
yeah. But isn't that why? Isn't that why Gronk is probably the best ever?
Mm. You want guys to be great wise who can do it both.
Yeah,
that's your. Those guys have the most value, but Tyler Higbee learned to be a better blocker.
Mm.
You know, Tyler Higbee took him a while, but Tyler Higbee learned to be a better blocker, and now he's becoming a big factor.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. It was the third. Tight end taken, wasn't he?
Jordan Akins is becoming a better blocker.
Jordan Akins, they have to use him more.
Got to. Man, Deshaun's got to start spreading it out. I mean, he's got to look at...
Well, every time Jordan Akins catches a ball, it's a huge play.
Jordan Akins has made some plays.
Yes.
I think this is going to have to be made through play calling. I think right now Deshaun, you know, he looked at Will Fuller a ton. I don't know if Deshaun's kind of finding his new whoopee that he wants to rely on, because it shouldn't be Fuller. Like, Fuller is a DeSean Jackson, not a high-volume target guy, but an explosive play guy. That's who he should be in a perfect world. That's who he was when Deshaun Watson was here. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins. But you don't have that now. It's not Cobb. It's not Cooks. None of those guys are
volume catch guys. Wasn't it funny how much better the offense was when Will Fuller was on the field?
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, now that DeAndre Hopkins isn't there, it just seems like, well, he's supposed to take that place? No.
It doesn't work
way. You're right. He's not place, that guy.
His place was exploding down the field. Yes. It terrorizing safety, stuff like that. Now you've made him change slots. And think about it. Who is your... He's best when he is a vertical threat because he gets a lot of underneath catches wide open because everyone's giving him so much room. Now you can shade some coverage over to him. It's a little easier because you don't have DeAndre Hopkins getting one-on-ones. Well, think about this. If Will's at his best when he's a number two, able to roam the field and threaten safeties, so who's your number? Then who's your high volume target guy? Is it Cobb? No, it's never really been Cobb. Not for a while. He was never even Jordy, in Green Bay. Is it Cooks? No, it's never been Cooks. You don't have one.
You don't have one.
You got slot guys. You got a slot guy, a deep guy. Bucky Brooks always says, and Bucky got it from somebody else, but wide receivers like a basketball team. You have to have different types. You have to have different types. Well, you got a slot guys. You got two slot guys. You got a deep guy. Where's your James Harden? Where's your guy who's going to get you the points? That's Hopkins. You know, you got an explosive guy. Where's you're missing something in your wide receiving core? Because when you ask Will Fuller to do that, now you're taking out, well, then who's your deep option? Is it Will Fuller too? Is
well,
your deep option
I think,
your volume
yeah, no,
option?
Cooks could be that guy.
Well, then let's
he
do
is
it.
That guy, too.
But line him up outside,
well,
I guess.
He was hurt. But you know what? It was one game in. There, you
I know
Cobb,
he's hurt already.
Let's not
I got
give
you.
Up on Cobb and Cooks yet.
No, I'm not giving up on him.
Yeah.
But I am concerned,
and
Stills, though.
Kenny was bad, but it was one game.
That you don't have a legitimate high-volume target
guy. Yes.
A contested catch guy.
No,
that's
right.
Not Will Fuller.
A
Will
possession
Fuller had,
guy.
Will Fuller had
you
trouble
don't have
making
a possession guy.
Catches his first year in the league, first couple of years. Now he got much better. He did. His very first throw was a drop. But after that, he's much better.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713, any thoughts on, you're more than welcome.
And
to
we
get
back some, there's a comment about Daryl Morey and his future.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether what Tillman's thinking about that. I know what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the car that I sold John Clay Wolf. I worked him. Boy, did I work him on that deal. And he's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
Did you get your title yet?
September 24th.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm telling you. That you go try to make an appointment with the tax office and you tell me. You tell me how it's going to work out. Finally, they had an opening. It's like No, honestly, I went and I called and I called and I went to the website and trying to make an appointment. Oh, sorry, that's all taken up. That's all. Really? Really, people? September 24th was the soonest I could get in there. That's how busy our tax office is.
Well, so take the people that have payoffs, right, which most of them do because most of them aren't rich and famous and have clear titles like Granado.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make all these payoffs for these people all over the country. And then they send the what they call lien releases to the DMVs of those states to get new titles published to be sent to me because I made the payoff. Give me the VIN.com.
And it's, I bet money, you it's a pain in the ass.
But, so understand this. So we sell the cars at the auctions. We make money. We break even. We lose money. Whatever. They're gone. And our money's tied up in that title until we can get a title with that payoff. So imagine the amount of money that Give Me the VIN has tied up in this ridiculous, you know, lava stream of nothing that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean, it's like, it makes me, it's break. I mean, I don't know how to say it. You know what? It's ridiculous.
It's maddening.
We got $20 million.
No way. What?
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude, you got a lot of money. Wow, if you got $20 million tied up with the government, how much money do you have?
It's not the government, it's the banks and the lien releases and the payoff.
And it's the thing has and the red tape.
So bad.
And the red tape. Yep.
We've had to go to our lender and say, "Hey, we got to have an extension on our credit line because we can't get any money."
Well, and that'll just tell you, John Clay Wolf will buy your car, and he'll just wait for the license and the lien for the title. And give me the VIN. Screw him up and get more on that. Add more on that $20 million at givemethevin.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So I'm looking at a story here, the ripple effects of Mike D'Antoni and what it means to all NBA jobs. There's obviously some pretty darn good openings around the association, right? Could the Philadelphia 76ers be a possible fit after firing Brett Brown?
With that said,
Philadelphia's current core group is unlikely to have much success playing D'Antoni's brand of small ball basketball.
He's had big guys.
The reason he played this way was because of Russ, apparently.
He's going to be a pacer.
You think so?
Yes. Although, Ballard was putting in a word for Van Gundy.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He loves Van Gundy.
GM. I don't know if Van Gundy is... I don't know if he's right for the... I think he actually is right for Indianapolis. Dell, you think Indianapolis's lineup, their roster... I think their roster could work with D'Antoni Ball.
But D'Antoni Ball, he's had big men.
They have big men who can shoot. Sabonis and Miles Turner can shoot. And you have Oladipo who can create off the dribble. Malcolm Brogdon, you have two guys who can create
his offense has had big men.
Yeah, Amar Stoudemire and he wasn't an outside shooter.
Catch and dunk.
But in this case, he would have two perimeter guys who are more stretch fours, fives than actually Amari even. So they're both modern big men. Turner probably should stop shooting as much as he does, but Sabonis can get it done. There's some talent on that team, and they weren't healthy. So they weren't what they should have been in the playoffs. That's why they got bounced by the Heat so quickly.
So of all the teams, the Sixers, Pacers, Bulls, Pelicans, and Thunder, if you could choose which one you wanted to coach, which would it be?
No, it's not the Thunder. There's a thought that the Thunder are
they're going to.
This is their little move. And
how about the move of Chris Paul to the Bucks?
Yeah, I like that.
No kidding.
I like that. You still are worried about if he can make it through a whole season. Because let's remember, he got to have a big break.
Well, he didn't miss any games this year.
But yeah, I guess that's true. But, you know, can he continue to do that? I mean, he has to – I don't know if people know how hard he has to work. They kind of talked about it on one of the broadcasts. I think it was one of the Rockets broadcasts. he's got to completely change his diet. He's got to do massages all the time. He's like, he has to work overtime to keep from getting hurt. It's a lot. It's a lot of dietary changes. He can't eat much. I think his body type just wants to blow up on him.
Yes, he's have you ever, well, I don't thick. Know. You ever seen his brother?
Yeah, his brother's a little thick.
Thick, yeah. Yeah.
But
he's got the thick gene.
So, but I do like that for them. I still don't know. Well, with Middleton, actually I do like that for them. Chris Paul, it's you are really becoming to me, you are becoming a half court team now. If you bring Chris Paul in, you're a half court team, I think. I don't think your team is going to run a whole lot, but DiVincenzo is too erratic. What do they do with Bledsoe?
You can have them both on the floor.
Two guards.
I mean, you got a more athletic guy.
Bledsoe, I don't know if he's a great compliment. I mean,
I don't
well,
even,
you got to give up something for Chris Paul too. So maybe you give up Bledsoe.
You got three guys who need.
Why would OKC want Bledsoe? That salary and for a team who's not even trying to win, but they do have to match salaries.
They do have to match salaries. So.
Yeah,
but that's the mistake the Bucks made when they extended Bledsoe and then decided that Brogdon was too expensive and they didn't want to go into the tax for him, so they let him go. And now they just told Giannis, no, we're willing to go into the tax.
Yeah.
So they already made a crucial mistake. Now they're trying to make up for it.
The Pacers probably the best job.
I think so. Whoever can convince Oladipo to stay, because he's on the final year of his deal, and then you have to hope he. See, the problem with Oladipo is I think he's overvalued. He's had one good year where he was an all-star, and then he became an all-star again the second time around off that shine, but he didn't play particularly well, and then he got injured. So whoever goes in there is going to have to figure out: do you think Oladipo should be the lead dog, or should Brogdon be the lead dog?
He's pretty good.
They're
both pretty good.
He had a really good 1 year, but if you look at the over the course of his career, he's like 29 now. He's not young. So you look at it and go, what has Oladipo really done outside that 1 year? But I think that you have to decide if Brogdon or Oladipo is your guy, and I would go with Brogdon right now.
So Chris B. Haynes from Yahoo Sports is reporting that general manager Daryl Morey would be under review by owner Tillman Fertitta. I don't know what that means. Every year you're under review. I don't know if that means, hey, he's going to be evaluating the job. I would be shocked if Tillman would get rid of. I've talked to him a few times, and he speaks of nothing but superlatives about Daryl Morey. And oh, by the way, Daryl, I mean, and there's two schools of thought here. What the hell has Daryl Morey done? And Daryl Morey is, Daryl Morey is the best, one of the best GMs in the NBA. And we know we're your boy, man. You love Manny. And we know where he stands on that. I would be shocked if Tillman got rid of Daryl.
Well, he's gonna assess, and he should. I mean, that's his job.
What's it? That's every year.
Tillman should assess that every time, and Daryl should have some heat on him.
Daryl should have some heat on him.
There's no
because
question.
This is a poorly constructed roster.
I think he went down a rabbit hole with James, and now he's so far down that I don't think he can wiggle out of this. He's wiggled out of some of these contracts. He wiggled out of Chris Paul, which I thought that was incredibly dangerous. To extend him, but that was part of a deal that was previously made to get Chris Paul here. So, it is what it is. But now he's put himself in a position where he's had to fundamentally alter the scheme of the offense. He has put himself in position where, and this is why we didn't like this trade, specifically for Russ, is that you had a guy who is a little too erratic. While he's explosive, he's also very erratic. He's not a very good shooter. He's a high turnover guy to go with James, who's a high turnover guy. And then ultimately, I think the small ball ended up really just became a big nuisance against it. You see the Lakers beat you 182 to like 126 on the boards, in that series. I mean, you got pummeled on the boards.
Well, of course you did.
If you're going to give up like that, you have to either A, not turn the ball over much, or B, really shoot the ball. You're 3-1 too.
Well, that's
like you said.
That's the same. My biggest issues. I think Daryl's brilliant. He's gotten the Rockets in. He got them in position to win a championship, and they didn't because Chris Paul's hamstring and Daniel House his booty call. But they were in position to win it all. And it was a well-constructed, you know, bringing Chris Paul in was a great move. Bringing Russ in, everybody talks about Mike D'Antoni's small ball. This is not Mike D'Antoni's small ball. It was forced upon everybody in this organization because of Russ. Because Russ can't play with a big man. There can't be anybody inside clogging the lane because Russ has got to have the lane and then he can dish. And if somebody's got, you got, if you're a big man, you got to be able to shoot. And Clint Capella couldn't shoot and he doesn't have any shooters. That's my problem is with how this roster is constructed. If you're going to shoot 50 threes a game, get people who can shoot threes. That's defense. Well, then get a guy who can play some defense too. Okay. Get a guy who can shoot and get a guy. And then the other problem is that he never, ever, ever has any draft picks. It's that he just gives them away willy-nilly. And I know you're a big draft pick guy. You make your living on draft picks. And that Daryl just that he threw two number ones at Oklahoma City, and he flip-flopped his other ones, two more with Oklahoma City. It's just unbelievably – it's unbelievable. It's as bad as the Brock Osweiler deal. Just to get rid of you're getting rid of your future just to get rid of that contract.
Yeah. My feeling with Daryl is I get it. He was, you remember how bad it was before James? You were literally, now that felt like
horrible.
Purgatory. That was like,
yes.
That was like Astros baseball after the World Series. Just like, God, this.
No, it was unwatchable.
It was not, it was, and they weren't bad. It was just, there was nothing. You knew it was blah. There was nothing. What happens, though, when you get James? It's gotten much, much better. There's probably a fear of not having that superstar because Daryl knows you got to have a superstar. And, in fact, he believes you have to have two. But I'm just – you pushed your chips all in on a guy who is probably always going to tease you with a lot of great scoring but not championship metal. And so – and he's not a leader. It's not like he's a great leader who rallies the troops, you know, even though he doesn't like to take over in the fourth quarter. Like Kirk Cousins, for example, is, and I'm not comparing the two, but Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback but then, you know, when it comes time to win, comes time to play big games and all that, he's always been a guy who's just shied away. Now, he's, by all accounts, a really good leader and you know, quarterbacky type of guy. Chris Paul has had some of the same argument. You know, Chris Paul's a great leader, mm-hmm. but Chris Paul hasn't come up in the biggest moments either. Mm-mm. You know, that's come up with Chris Paul. James is a far more explosive scorer, obviously, but he just it's the same stuff we talked about forever. I don't need to keep rehashing it. But when that's the guy that you say, all right, everything is going to be built around him, well, Daryl has done that previously, but now he keeps getting in deeper and deeper and deeper to where the anchor is in so far that you now have Eric Gordon, Russell Westbrook under contract longer term, and you have eliminated big men from your entire game. I mean, look, I'm sure Daryl has plans. He always has contingency plans. I don't really know what they are right now. I don't know how many more directions.
Well, how about get a big man that can shoot? Because there's a lot of those. That other teams seem to have those guys that can actually shoot the ball. Isn't that something?
Well,
isn't that something? Isn't that weird?
I don't know how you're going to acquire one with your roster currently.
Man, you know what? They're almost stuck. Not this Daniel House thing. They're almost stuck taking him back. I mean, and that's never leaving his resume, but they're almost stuck because he's the only young guy and value that they have. The guy can play at the price tag that he has. They're almost forced to bring him back. If you get rid of Daniel House, name all your young guys that are that actually value that you're getting more out of them than you're paying them. You got none. 759 ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about about Chastain Ford. Okay, so 2020 Ford EcoSport, $5,000 off. 2020 Ford Explorer, up to $4,500 off. 2020 Ford Expedition, $15,000 off. 2020 Ford F-150, up to $6,000 off. 0% financing for 60 months on Escapes, Edges, Explorers, and Expedition. That is totally, totally sweet, people. 5 years of no interest, okay? And you can shop at home. No dealer add-ons. Current incentive with Ford. Listen, you've got everything that you could possibly want. It's the number one commercial fleet dealer in the city, top 100 in the country. They love the Houston business and want to grow with it. And listen, the retail side now, they are building and building and building, and you're doing it with Chastang at home. You can shop. You can get your car delivered. You can do the entire deal from your laptop. Okay. This is not, you can't do this at other places because they'll try to add on. They just want to add on. So do it at Chastang. ChastangFord.com. You're looking for the best deals and the best people to work with. You will love Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.